Blog Talk Radio.
The mediocrity that I won't accept. As long as God give me life, I'm gonna give my best. Greater is in me than what your eyes can see. My current situation is not the best of me. Not because you tried it and it never worked out. Don't try to discourage me, I'll fill me with doubt. Faith is the substance of things so far, and the evidence of things that I've not seen.
I'm gonna go higher. Don't tell me that I can go higher. There's more than
tuning in to us here on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. I am your host this evening, Brother Mike, and tonight we have Pastor Steve Lee, and he's going to be bringing forth a wonderful teaching tonight, and the title of tonight's teaching is titled, In Him We Move. So, with that being said, we're going to go ahead and turn the mic over. Pastor Lee, are you ready?
Yes, thank you very much, Brother Mike. So, beloved, let's just go ahead and pray and get into the word for today. Amen. Father, I just ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this place, in this time, because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me now. I decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, I ask you to quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. For you have made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name we pray. You know, beloved, I was last week just meditating, hearing from God, and things dropped into my spirit because I perpetually ask questions, and my questions are not from frustration, doubt, and unbelief. They are for investigation to move. Because if I don't know a thing, I probably can't do a thing. Even if I do it without knowledge, I won't do it well. And whatever I don't do well, I'm going to have to repeat. And I'm one that should be redeeming the time, not wasting my time doing things over and over and over. You do know that the definition of insanity is to do the same thing expecting different results. Well, if I don't have better information, then I'll probably do what I did last time. Because if I can find better information, I will get better results. It's automatic. That's why in 1 Corinthians 12, when he said, "Brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant," I take that personally. Because I understand that the only reason God's people are destroyed, he says, my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed because they don't understand. My people are destroyed because wisdom has not become their principal thing. Wisdom might be a good thing, but until wisdom is the principal thing, I do not open myself up for the flow of God. Because everything in God comes through Jesus, and Jesus has been made unto us wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification and redemption. So then if I don't function in the wisdom, I probably won't do too good with the righteousness. All right, just because I said that, let's just flip over there right quick to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. Okay, I just quoted it, but I just want to go ahead and let you see it. Okay, and verse 30 says, "But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption." Please notice the order that God put there. He put wisdom first because he said wisdom is the principal thing. In all of my getting, I should get understanding. Wisdom should be alive so that the things God wants to flow into my life would be understood and utilized. I will not understand righteousness according to the way it is delineated here. I will not understand righteousness if wisdom has not been engaged. I will not live in righteousness if wisdom has not been engaged. I will have a misconception of sanctification. I will have a misunderstanding of redemption if wisdom is not my principal thing. So I ask questions based on how can I allow wisdom to flow through me for you? I ask these questions a lot, beloved, because that's part of my job. And that's what we want to kind of look at today. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 17. Acts chapter 17, verses 22 through 30. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verses 3 through 8. That will be the bulk of the study so that we can deal with it. So that you can just write that down. Ephesians 4, 11 through 17, Acts 17, 22 through 30, and 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 3 through 8. Part of my job is to help the body of Christ grow. And not just one part, but the whole body. Let's look at this, Ephesians chapter 4. And he says, starting at verse 11, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, till we all come in the unity of the knowledge of the Son of God, till we all come to the place where we are a perfect man, mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I'm just going to back up and separate this for a second. Part of my job is to cause saints to be perfected. It's not my job to lead you wherever you are. It is my job, according to the scripture here, that I'm supposed to perfect the saints. If we see that the work of the ministry is not taking place, and a lot of people in church would fuss and complain because they're the Mary and Martha thing happens, I get that. But the reason why that happens, according to this scripture, is that the fivefold ministry has not done their part, because when they do their part, the work of the ministry kicks in. You know, people can hide behind ignorance. They can hide behind confusion. But when the fivefold ministry does its job, saints would be made mature. A mature saint does not ignore the work of the ministry. A mature saint will not allow the conditions that we see in the earth to remain. Because Jesus left specific instructions that are general. He said, "Go ye therefore and make disciples of all men." That function was not given to just the fivefold. That function was given to ye. Amen. Everybody can fit into ye. To become disciplined by, taught by, is what a disciple is. And he told us specifically to go and to make, to go and to teach them to observe to do what he said. And the teaching is not just done from the pulpit, beloved. The teaching is not just done from behind a mic. Let's open it up and bring everybody in here. The teaching is done from my testimony, observed by those that are without. When the people see you walk in wisdom, when people see you walk in righteousness, when people see you walk in sanctification, when people see you walk in redemption, you are teaching by example. You know the old saying that if you would see something, a word, action is bigger than just a word. Because when I see you doing, I then have inquisition as to how. I then become thirsty. I then become hungry. But if you just tell me what to do and don't show me by a practical example, step by step, I can get lost in my confusion. I can get lost in my frustration. I can get lost in my fatigue. But when you walk with me, when you lead by example, I can follow. According to scripture, Paul said, "Please follow me as I follow Christ." He did not say, listen to me as I talk about Christ. Please help me, y'all. Come on now. He said, follow. He wants you to engage in the doing. Because if I don't engage in the doing, according to James, I am just a hearer of the word and not a doer, and now I become subject to deception. That's on both sides, beloved. The world is waiting for looking for the manifestation of the sons of God. That would be people that are doing the work, not people that are just preaching about the work. Preaching is necessary, but my preaching is not just behind the mic. My preaching, my proclaiming the gospel, is by my lifestyle. Jesus said it this way. Let's go back to those words he said. He said that men would see my good works, and they, men, would then give God glory. Okay, come on, let's investigate that. Men that see my good works will give glory to God by coming into what I have introduced to them. It didn't say that they would only talk about. See, we leave the scripture half done. To give glory, okay, to give glory to God would have to be an exchange. To present glory to God would be something that could be optional. You understand what I'm saying? When you give a gift and the person receives the gift and releases glory, comment to you, that means that they received it. If I just dropped it off at the door, I don't know that they received it. Talking about a thing does not mandate that a person receives. But when I do things, testimony has now been released. My job, part of the fivefold ministry, our job is to perfect saints so that they would do the work of the ministry. Prepare them to do it. Not prepare them to hear it and to talk about it. We are well past the days of just hearing and not doing. We need to have the ability to allow Jesus to work with us. And the way Jesus works with us, according to Mark chapter 16, verse 20, it says, and the Lord worked with them, confirming his word with signs following. Confirming his word with the ability to do. He didn't verify, come on, y'all. He didn't verify and give a stamp of approval that says, yeah, that sounds good. He wants to be able to, if you would, put some ham where I am. Put some steak on the plate. We no longer need pie in the sky. Discussions of words that sound good, that are just alluring, but they have no ability to be executed. It is time for demonstration of the spirit and power. It is time for that. Because in the society that we find ourselves in, they can find just as many, that's the same way it was, just as many false reasons for a thing to happen as we present by words the truth. Truth has the ability to bring results. Good theory does not bring results. And a lot of times, we only bring good theory, good emotional connectivity. But what we need is demonstration. We need doing. And doing is released by effective living. That's why Jesus was made unto us wisdom and then the way it should be. The definition of righteousness, things as they ought to be. Right standing with God, things as they ought to be. I have wisdom Jesus has been made unto me wisdom so that I can function the way things are supposed to be. Okay? We're supposed to be able to be fruitful and multiply. It didn't say be talkative and have good emotional release. It said be fruitful. The way I understand fruit, fruit is produce. Fruit is increase. Fruit is also tangible. The fruit of the Spirit is manifest. Okay? We've got to get to the place where we allow God to work on the inside so that he can work through what he deposited. You might want to write that down. When God is able to work on the inside, he can then work through what's on the inside, what he deposited. He's able to confirm that word now. But if I continue to be unteachable, not willing to be perfected, that's what he said. This is my job, okay? He's given some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. In fact, when we read this, he doesn't just want anybody working in the ministry. He wants saints that are being perfected to work in the ministry. Notice I did not say he wanted perfect saints to work in the ministry. He wants saints that are being perfected. God is requiring growth. In him, we move. Stagnation is not an option here. The very first time we were ever introduced to the Spirit of God, the Bible says, and the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the deep. We introduced to God, he was a God of action. He was not just a God of talk. So he wants us to fivefold ministry to perfect the saints so that they would be equipped to work the ministry, so that they would be equipped. Look at this. This is why things are out of place, because we're not thinking about our job. We're not preparing the body of Christ so that it would edify itself. And it's going to tell us right after this how it's going to do that. Wait a minute. Read on. Notice this. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. Beloved, look at that. Just kind of circle that in your Bible. The resolve that God has is that we will all come. Notice the wording. He did not say come to the unity of the faith. He said come in. Amen. When I come to a thing, I might not be involved. I might be a spectator. But when I come into the thing, I'm going to have to get involved, if only limitedly, because I have to no longer be on the outside. At least now I am on the inside. I have to be involved, okay? I have to take a different position when I come in than I did when I was looking from the outside. Because now the things that happen affect me because I am in the thing. When I'm on the outside, it's just, that's y'all's problem. Y'all need to fix that. But when I come inside, I have to bring, find, and participate in answers because now it affects me. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. Please notice that there was no plurality there. It did not say the unity of the faith. It said the unity of the faith. So we've got to remove some of these things, some of these walls that we have put up so that we keep ourselves ineffective. The devil has duped us. This, beloved, is in your Bible. I didn't open up your Bible and write this in there. This was the intent God had from the very beginning, because in him we move. And my job, the way I read this, my job doesn't quit until we get there. I could say I'm frustrated at you, tired of all your fleshy stuff. No. That's not my position. I have to stay on my job. My job is to perfect saints so that the ministry will be equipped, so that the body will be edified, and so that we would arrive at our destination till we all come in. You know, I was talking to somebody today, and I just kind of didn't see this in Revelation chapter 19, verse 10. It says that the brethren that have the testimony of Jesus, I had never known that that was possessionary. He said, brethren have the testimony. He did not say, brethren know the testimony. See, that's someone that has come in. They're no longer on the outside. They just came in to the unity of the faith. And he says, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Wow. Till we all come to the unity of the faith, that is the spirit of prophecy. He knows that there's work to be done. That's why he sent the fivefold ministry to perfect the saints so that the work of the ministry can be done, so that the body would be edified, that we would come to the unity in the faith, that we would come to the place where we understand the knowledge of the Son of God, where we come to the place where we become a mature man. And a mature man, just look at this, read with me here, a mature man has the ability to come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Oh, my Jesus. Oh, look at that. He just said right there that we enter into what Jesus said we would do, greater works. I come into the place of the full measure. Come on. Please. A perfect man that has the understanding of the knowledge of the Son of God. I want to say it later, but I'll say it here. Notice that this knowledge of the Son is not an awareness of the Son. It is the same knowledge that the Son uses. It's the same knowledge that he made available for us. We're going to come to the place where we understand and flow in the unity of the knowledge that he uses. The knowledge that he applied when he brought things under subjection. Because he knew who he was. He understood his assignments. He told his mother, you don't know, I must be. He didn't say I should be. It'll be a good idea. He said, I must be about my father's business. See, he understood purpose, destiny. And because he understood it, he then walked toward that end till we all come to the unity in the faith. Excuse me. Till we come to the full, to the perfect man, unto the measure of the stature. It didn't say to one of the measures. It said unto the measure. Beloved, he just took all of the limits off. The same way God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost, and the Bible says he did it in a manner that he gave him the Spirit without measure, he wants us to come to that same place in him, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And as this happens, brothers and sisters, look at what good comes out of it. Because of this, because you understand that you have been a saint that is being perfected for the work, that is being perfected to allow the body to be edified. Oh, Jesus. You know, he's less and less interested about our sloppy agape. That's us doing what flesh wants to do and not giving him glory. and then saying that because we live in under grace that he'll forgive me. No, no, he says we're going to come to the place of a perfect man. Not, please, a mature man. You know, Paul said things that we didn't apply accurately. A mature man would be one that's made perfect in love. And when I understand how to be one that's perfect, made perfect in love, then I will put away childish things. I will no longer think like a child. I will no longer act like a child. I will be a perfect man, a mature man that is walking in the fullness of the stature of Christ, that's walking in the same measure. That's the manifestation of the sons of God, John. Those that are led by the Spirit. See? I'm not one that's going to continually function with my emotions leading. That's not a mature man. That's not a man that is perfect. That is actually, wow, sir. If a man is functioning, being led by his emotions, that's a man that is subject to fear. Mm-hmm. Because those that have fear are those that cannot be made perfect in love, because fear has torment. Fear is subject to emotion. That would cause torment. Can you see that? When I get to this place, and he's expecting us to, he said we will come to the unity. We will come. It says when this happens, that we would no more, we would henceforth be no more children that are tossed to and fro. Children that are carried about with every wind of doctrine. Children that are carried about by the sleight of man. Children that are subject to cunning craftiness. Lies that sound good. Lies that feel good. Lies that you want to be true. Cunning craftiness. He says you will not be a child. You will not be a child running to and fro, tossed to and fro. You will not be a child that will go for anything. You will be a man that can stand. Amen. Oh, that's just good, sir. See, if you are a man, wow. When you are a man, trials and tribulations don't bother you, because you know the things concerning you have an end. You know that your deliverer is faithful, and now you can look up because your deliverance draws nigh. But a child just wants to get out of the situation, away from the test, because they don't know the answers. But a mature man, a man that has been perfected for the work of the ministry. Come on, y'all, just look at this. I'm just, there's the scriptures right there. A man that has been prepared, perfected for the work of the ministry, does not get mad, frustrated, and bent out of shape when he gets involved with ministry. Hallelujah. I don't have a problem allowing long suffering to be developed in the thing. I'm not mad because I told them 12 times and they still don't have it. I've been one that is prepared for this work. All I would do in a situation like that, being perfect, is I would simply roll up my sleeves and get busy. I would roll out the things out of my heart that caused the situation to be made right. I will release the spirit of prophecy. That's the testimony of Jesus that the brethren have. I can release words that would transform. I can release words that would go into the heart of the man that I'm speaking to, into the heart of the woman that I'm speaking to, into the heart of the child that I'm speaking to. And those words then, being anointed by the Spirit of God, will not return void, but they will prosper in the thing whereunto they were sent. They will do that which he wants them to man that is perfected for the work of the ministry. Not one that's just going about doing a good thing, not understanding that he should do a God thing. Because a God thing is going to bring forth God results. When you do what the Bible says, you get Bible results. We're not playing pity-pat. No, we're going to do exactly what he said, because what he said is what we can count on. We're no longer children tossed to and fro. We're no longer children carried about. I hope it works this time. No. I'm not a child about this. I know I can stand on this word. I am a man that is perfected in this word. And as I stand here, I am releasing the full measure of the stature of Christ in its fullness. I am not a child. Look at this. I am not a child that's lying in wait to deceive.
Wow.
You know, because children want their way, they sometimes know that to get their way, they're going to have to lie. They'll say things like, I'll do it, knowing good and well they lie. They have no intentions of obeying. They just know, as a child, I can act like that. But a man, a person that has grown up and been made perfect, he can't do that, because integrity is now at stake. My word becomes that only thing that can be measured, I can be measured by. My word that I gave has to now be what I do. Or, according to the Bible, I swear to my own hurt and change not. That's the one that's going to ascend. He's going to move on up. In him we move. Because I'm going to say, no. I have spoken it just like God. He's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he not said it? Shall he not make it good? Has he not spoken it? Shall he not bring it to pass? Why? Because integrity now is at stake. Children don't function like that. Children lie in wait to deceive. But a mature man would speak the truth in love. And as he speaks the truth in love, watch what happens. He grows up in him. And then he is connected to him. Wow, that's good. Whoa, y'all. Whoa. By speaking the truth in love, he grows up in him, in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Did you just see? He just elevated you from a position, if you would, of always having to fight to get things done, and put you in a position where the head makes decisions. You are growing up in him, the head. You're growing up in him in authority. Glory to God. When I grow up in authority, I remove questions, beloved. We can almost say it this way. Questions, repetitious questions, questions that are vain, generally come out of children. Why, mommy? Why not, mommy? Those are vain repetitions that come out of children. But when I connect to the head, when I connect to the place of authority, questions now are removed. Because I am a perfect man. I have come to the place where I have the knowledge of the Son of God. I'm using what the Son used. I'm growing up in from the position where thoughts are different. Oh, beloved. You know when he said, your thoughts are not my thoughts and your ways are not my ways. My ways are higher than your ways. He was not saying that to bring us down. He was saying that to invite us up. That's why he said, as the rain comes down. In other words, there are laws that are in place. And if you would operate in these laws the same way that the rain comes down and does not return thither, void, but it waters the earth and makes it bring forth in bread, so shall my word be. So when you have the understanding of my word, it'll come down the same way the laws are in place that make the rain not come back thither. You will grow up in him from whom, and if this is what's on his mind, this is what's in, okay, it just said, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. So when I think thoughts of his authority, think thoughts that he has that would cause me to have dominion, then he says, I connect myself to the whole body correctly, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So then my job is to get you to purpose that you're going to walk in love, grow up in love, move by love, think from love's position. You cannot think, because if you do think from any other position, you're not connected to the head. And if you're not connected to the head, you're not joined to the body fitly. You cannot then cause increase. You cannot cause the body to be edified in love. See, I found out that my job, I am here to assist and even to insist that you grow up, that you walk right. I'm assisting you when you didn't know. I will insist after I told you that you begin to go back and check your heart so that you can say, love, I didn't let love enter in there because I still have fear. I think they're going to hurt me. I think they're going to talk about me. And if I have this fear, I cannot be made perfect in love. I am here to assist, yes, and even to insist. And from this position, I will not relent. I will persist. I'm going to keep it up till we all come to the unity in the faith. Sometimes what we do is we resist the Lord and assist the enemy. Because God tells us, if you have aught against any, forgive. But we'll resist the Lord, and we'll assist the enemy. I won't forgive them because they said, because they did. I won't let them off. They got to, you see? No, that's we got it backwards. We are co-laborers with him. We're supposed to be working on his side. When I'm working on his side, that means I have to work by his plan, by his blueprints. Come on, beloved. Except the Lord build the house, they that labor in vain. So if I'm not building my life according to his blueprints, I am laboring in vain. I don't care how you feel about it. His blueprint says, forgive if you have aught against any. Thereby, I can now work the plan that he has. Every joint now can supply. The body can now make increase of itself in love. If I don't do it by his blueprint, then I'm just working vanity. I'm working emptiness. Okay? Growth is mandatory. It is not optional. Growth is expected. It's not supposed to be delayed. You cannot grow when you wanna. I'm sorry. That's just not the way it works, because your life is not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your members. Those are not recommendations, beloved. Those are commandments. You are commanded to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. And as you're loving, love your neighbor as yourself. These are not suggestions. You're supposed to do this. But we'll come and say, well, no, I can't do this because of growth is mandatory. It's not optional. It's not when you find a convenient time. It's required now. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. As in the day of provocation, when your fathers proved me and tempted me, rather than gave in to my will and then were blessed by my will, they tried to prove me. They tried to test me to see if I loved them. Even though I have already told them, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. But yet, we will test God to see if, in fact, yes, I can trust him with my love. Just so that you get it, beloved, your love started with him. Yeah. Your love came out of it. You don't have in your flesh, dwelleth no good thing. He didn't say dwelleth a little good thing. He didn't say dwelleth a piece of a good thing. He said in your flesh dwelleth no good thing. So your love had to come from him. That's why he says in Romans chapter 5 that the Holy Ghost sheds the love of God abroad in your heart. Why would he do that? So that he can cascade over your love, and your love can now be swallowed up in his love. You can now become lost in his love. Because when you are lost in his love, you can now be found. Amen. Amen. I am in the place of perfect safety. I am lost in his love. Because his love never fails. His love abides forever. I'm safe, only safe in his love. In him we move. Turn to Acts chapter 17. And Paul, this is the account of Mars Hill. And Paul stood in the midst, starting at verse 22. And Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For I passed by and beheld your devotions. I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Whom you therefore ignorantly worship, him I declare unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and he is the Lord of the earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands. Though he need anything, seeing that he giveth life and breath to all things, and hath made one blood of all nations of men to dwell upon the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed that and that their bounds of their habitations." He said, God has already thought through this whole thing, and he knew exactly how far you was going to go, how far they was going to go, and what he was going to allow. He already knew the bounds of their habitation. He knew it. He appointed the time for that. Oh, that's good, y'all. If we would just agree with God, we could speed up or redeem the time, can't we? Because he's already appointed times and the bounds of their habitation. And the reason he did that was not because he was trying to, look, come on, just read scripture. He didn't do that so he could withhold anything from you. He did that so that they would seek the Lord. When you get to the end of yourself, when you get full of yourself, the end of that should be that I will now seek the Lord. But a lot of times in our lives, we'll keep trying to procrastinate what is inevitable, because he's already, come on, read with me, he's already determined the times before appointed. Okay. I want you to get that. Your arms too short to box with God? He's already set things in motion. Come on. Let's look at it this way, beloved. He's trying to bless you. And he wants to bless you on a specific date. He set times and appointments for that. but you keep delaying your own breakthrough. You keep postponing your own deliverance. There is a time that's appointed for your breakthrough. But in order to get to your breakthrough, that's good, sir. In order to get to your breakthrough, there's going to have to come a breakdown. You're going to have to give up on your way of thinking, your way of doing. You have to break down so you can get to your breakthrough. If you're going to be stiff-headed, hard-hearted, if you're going to be rebellious, there was no breaking down, then I will tell you emphatically, because there was no breaking down, there will be no breakthrough. You will do as the children of Israel did. You will continue to circle around your promised land. You will circle around your blessing, but you will not break through to your blessing, because there has to be a breakdown before there can be a breakthrough. God has already set times for you, and if you do not allow his will to be exercised by your submission, then your destiny has been put on hold. He's already set times, appointed, determined that this is what should happen so that you can seek him. If happily, you may feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. So then, since he's already appointed your times, he's already appointed your deliverance, and he says that your life is hid with God. It's hid in Christ. Why don't you go ahead, break down, so you can get your breakthrough? I mean, we just keep doing it. This is my job. I am here to give you the word that will rub away, break down, cause things to be eradicated, so that you can say, you know what, God, I just want you in the fullness. I don't want a little dab or do you of God. I want all of you, Lord, because I want all of you, because you require all of me, all my heart, all my mind, all my strength. You require that. I haven't found love until I give up. Come on, y'all. I have not found love until I give up all my heart, all my strength, all my mind. I cannot find love. I have to love him with that. So that means I have to give up my love, find his love in exchange, and now my life would come into view. Because my life is hid in that place of surrender. Please know, beloved, that my life is not hid in my works. That's what they were doing. They were worshiping a God that they didn't know. They were just hoping that this was the one. I quoted the last half of that scripture, and I just got a good understanding of the rest of it, because it says, hear this, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God. And you shall love the Lord. Okay, that's where it comes from in Deuteronomy chapter 6. I didn't know that what he was saying addressed what they were doing right here. They were trying to serve a God they didn't know. They were hoping that they might heal him and know that this was God. They were hoping that they might come in contact with him. But what God has done is take the guesswork out. When do you get the guesswork removed? When you love him with all. Because now yours has been given away, and he can now give you his. If you don't love him with all, then you are withholding your breakthrough. Not because he's egotistical, but the way it works is I have to abandon my thought process of holding on to what I have because of fear. When I let go because of love, love never fails. When I let go because of love, my breakdown ushers in my breakthrough. When I let go and find love, that places me in the name of the Lord, which is a strong tower, and the righteous people run into it and they are saved. God is asking us to move in him, not to be hanging around on the outside. This is no longer knock, knock, knock. This is, I'm on my way in because you invited me, sir. I'm going to give you everything. I'm going to leave what's not necessary on the outside. I'm not going to try to bring anything here because I am complete in him. I don't need whatever was on the outside. I'm going to leave it on the outside. I am now going to commit completely and totally to you because you are a God that is one God. You are the God. And I found out the word, when you look it up, it means he's a God of integrity, a God of unity, a God that, you know, when they say holy, 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 same word. He's a God that is inclusive of everything. He has integrity. The integral parts, where we get the word integral from, is integrity. The integral parts that are necessary are in him, because in him all things consist. By him all things consist. He is one God. See, and these people were looking for that God. They didn't know who he was. That's why Paul introduced him. He said, the one that you are trying to find, the one that you worship ignorantly, I'm going to go ahead and tell you who he is. I'm going to make him known to you. I'm going to, notice what he said, I'm going to declare him unto you. Glory to God. I can say about him those things that have integrity, those things that are complete. I can say that about him. You're looking for what will make you complete. Well, I'm telling you, it's God. The Bible says that you are complete in him. See, he brings everything. Please understand that, beloved. If he brings everything, that tells me that you don't have to bring anything. Amen. If he is everything, he is all and all, through all, and in you all. He is everything. So if he is everything, why am I protecting this stuff that I have? I don't need it. Because in him I live. In him I move. In him I have my being. I cannot be in him and by him at the same time. I'm tired of looking at Christians trying to live on the outside and look at the blessings on the inside. Come on in. The water's fine. Just come on and give him everything. You do not get your breakthrough until the breakdown. You're going to have to dismantle the thought process that causes you to withhold from God. He's the one that's requiring all of you, because he's going to give you all of him. He's not going to give you an angel. He gave you his son, his only begotten son. He who gave us his own son, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Romans chapter 8:31-32. He said he gave up Jesus because he doesn't want anything. Come on, y'all. He does not want anything between you and him except Jesus, because that's the channel to everything. That's the pathway to everything. That's one of the reasons I particularly wouldn't like Catholicism, because they put Mary in the place of Jesus. God put Jesus so that everything comes through him. He didn't want anything between you and him, up to and including a Virgin Mary. In him you live, in him you move, in him you have your being. He wants to be able to access your life and give you access to his. Come on, y'all. Jesus said these words: no man can come to the Father except by me. I just don't know why we don't hear that. And we say, well, I would like to try this. No, you can't get to the Father. I did not say you cannot have motion. Remember, they that build the house labor in vain, except God's the one building it. This is his blueprints. Didn't say you would not be doing something. You're not doing anything worth a value, okay? But you're doing something. You're busy, okay? Remember Mary and Martha? He told her, said, no, Mary has chosen the thing that is needful. You're just busy, Martha. You're not going to get to the reward, but you're real busy, Martha. But Mary has chosen the one thing that's needful. That's the way God does it. He only requires one thing. And the one thing that he requires is all of you. Amen. Because he will, with one thing, give you everything. He will, with one, Jesus, give you everything. See, so when you begin to understand that, then you will stop fighting and arguing with people that you think are roadblocks. They cannot be roadblocks in your life. Because if I hold on to protect the relationship that I have with Jesus, everything comes through him. He has been made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Because I see him correctly, I can then enjoy the right standing that he gave me. I can then have the view of things as they ought to be. I can then enjoy why he set me apart, sanctified me. I can then enjoy why through this sanctification he will cause redemption to take place in my life. That which was stolen, he can redeem. He can make new. That's what he said. Behold, I make all things new. All of them. So that instead of me getting, okay, come on. Instead of me getting the things that I thought I lost, I could give that up, have my breakdown, and allow him to give me that which is new, that which is pure, that which is not defiled, that which fadeth not away. I will allow him to give me that. Well, did you hear that? If I would allow that process, now the devil can mess that up because it is undefiled. It cannot be corrupted. Come on, beloved. Here I am trying to get back something I think I lost, and at best it was defiled. At best it was corrupted. And if I would just give that to him, he will then give me, behold, I make all things new. He will give me that which is pure, that which is undefiled, that which fadeth not away, that which is protected by the forces of heaven, reserved in heaven for me. I access it through the portal of his glory. Come on. I access it through the portals of glory. It does not come to me through the portals of flesh. Therefore, it can never be tainted, contaminated, can never be destroyed. Now, because it comes through the portals of glory, it lives and abides forever. For his glory does not give way to mortal stuff. Oh, beloved, we're supposed to move in him. We're supposed to live in him. Says that God used to wink at these thinkings, that we could do stuff on our own. Verse 30 says, in times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent, because he's already appointed the day of your deliverance. He's already appointed the day of your salvation, the day of your breakthrough. God said he used to wink at this, but now he's saying to you, repent of this. Try to reach God through your feelings, if happily you might find him, if you would feel after it, though he's not far from any one of us. Beloved, I found that my job is to simply continue to perfect, to continue to mature, to equip you for the work of the ministry. to admonish you, to edify the body in love, so that we would be able to stand, having done all to stand, stand therefore. You know, when I'm dressed correctly, I don't mind waiting, because I've done all to stand. Now the only requirement for me is to stand therefore. Once you're dressed appropriately for the party, all you can do is wait for the celebration. And beloved, as we mature in him, we put on the robe of righteousness. We put on the whole armor of God. And then we're able to stand and resist the devil, because we have the shield of faith that quenches every fiery dart. We have a word that can be spoken out of our heart, out of our mouth, and change our circumstances. I don't have to go work my circumstances out. Please, look at that, look at that, look at that. He said, having done all to stand, stand therefore. He did not tell you to move from that place. He told you to stand there, declare there, receive there, because God made a table for you in the very presence of your enemy. You can just have a seat, sit down at the table and eat. You ain't got to go out and fight. We've been doing these things backwards. I guess next week I'll try to get to part two, because I was trying to get to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And just for preliminary study, if you would, go ahead and study what our weapons are, what we're supposed to do with the weapons of our warfare, so that we can then understand, as God gets a breakdown in the resistance that he's had in our heart and in our mind, then we can enjoy our breakthrough. We won't have to try to go make things happen anymore. We'll be those that, having done all to stand, can stand therefore, dressed correctly, dressed for praise. Look at this, look at this. You are a man of war dressed for praise. Hallelujah. You are a man, according to Ephesians chapter 6, you are a man of war dressed for praise and releasing prayer, with all manner of prayer and supplication in the Spirit. You are dressed for war, but you release prayer and praise. Hallelujah. Because I have found that my communication with God is more important than my fighting an enemy. Because if I understand that my communication is intimate with God, God would then fight my battles. Amen. I don't have to go and fight for myself. I will just declare and decree a thing, and it will be established unto me. I spend more time in his presence than I do trying to go out and fight my enemy. Because in his presence, now my enemies become his responsibility. Amen. And as I know his track record is whatever and zero. He has not lost. He cannot lose. Because he has love and faith and hope that he's given me that endures forever. So why am I out there trying to fight to get a breakthrough? If I would just allow my heart and mind to break down the pride that I have pushed at God, when I get through, when I have that breakdown of the walls that separate, I will enjoy my breakthrough. But the choice is yours. Which will you choose, your way or God's way? God's waiting on you today. Father, we just thank you and bless you for your word. Thank you for allowing that word to live big on the inside of us, so that we can then offer up with our mouths the fruit of our lips, that we can then make intercession, Father God, on behalf of those that are coming against us, that we can then stand in the gap as Jesus stood in the gap for us, and restoration can take place. Breakthrough will become imminent from that position. We thank you, Father, that you're working those things in us so that you can work them through us. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray and receive it as done. Amen and amen. Glory to God.
Amen. All right. Wonderful word, Pastor Lee. All right, folks, we're going to go ahead and open up lines for commentary. Starting with area code 845.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 845. Yes. How you doing today? Amen.
Brother,
yeah, boomerang back to you.
I'm doing well, brothers. That just really was a wonderful brotherly. I guess what I took from that brother is everything that you control and coming into the full stature and perfect man that Christ is. You know, he already knows that we are to become. It's just a matter of, I guess, obedience and sacrifice and really pressing in. And then just just letting God do his perfect work in us and just to not hold God back. And I think that's what a lot of us do. I know I do that in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I hold back, leading to my thoughts and procrastination and just, putting things off. And, in the spiritual realm and even in the physical, things are always moving and you want to mature. You have such a desire and you're jealous to be made perfect, like right now, You want to
right.
do everything now. Like, but it is a process, within our, within us. And I guess that's just humanity. I guess that's just the way it is right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely want that, but that's what I took from that is just I guess conviction. a little conviction, more humbleness, just to open me up and really just start somewhere, start pressing in, trust God more, trusting the Lord more.
Let me ask you a question about this. If something has not happened in the time frame that you thought it should happen, the Bible says that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens
right.
you. Might I recommend to you that the strength, watch this, this is just beautiful. Notice he says that the thing is going to get done because Christ is going to do what? Strengthen you. Okay. Did it say that you would strengthen you?
No, it did not.
And what we basically do is we try to go do stuff, or strengthen ourselves, if you would, instead of finding out what is he strengthening. Okay? Because except the Lord build the house, they that labor strengthen in vain. Okay? Okay?
Right.
So let's find out, and that's what, it's what we do. It's just, it's the human fix. If I don't get it, work it out. Instead of, if I haven't received it, it's because I haven't received strength to do it. Because the thing that I need, whatever the thing is, financial breakthrough, the reason I haven't had the financial breakthrough is because I haven't received the strength for it from Christ. I might have aligned 12 good jobs together. That does not mean I'm going to get a financial breakthrough. The Bible says that men have a tendency of putting their money in baskets with holes in them. Okay? So then I need to just say, okay, God, what are you strengthening? I don't even know what you're doing on the inside of me. You're strengthening something. You're converting something, but I'm not listening and being still long enough to find out even what that is. I just want whatever it is to be over. Okay? Well, if you will receive the strength, it will then be over. But we're trying to do, because we said, well, this lines up this way. And I understand that. Been there, done that. Had to burn the T-shirt and the hat. Okay? Because it's a different place when you find out that in him I live, in him I move. Okay, okay, okay. In him, the I that I used to think was going to get stuff done, it's no longer I. It's Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Okay, that's Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. So then we have to get to that place where it's not about I and whatever I did. Let's receive strength from him. And as I do, I also receive the anointing for the breakthrough. Okay? When he told Adam to name all of the beasts that was on the earth, the next project scripture says God brought him the beasts, the animals, to see what he would name them. What am I saying? The strength to get it done comes from him. It didn't come through you. So since it didn't, find out what he's doing. Find out what he's doing. Begin to listen more. If you want to do more, listen more. Begin to intercede and hear more. Okay? Because he sent, come on. He sent a word to heal you. He did not send, please somebody help me. He did not send an activity to heal you and deliver you. He sent a word. So then if he sent a word, it would probably be wise for us to pay more attention to what we hear than what we did. Okay? And I mean, that's just what we do. We go, well, I'll do more. No. He sent a word to heal you. So listen more. Pray with the ability to hear more. Don't try to do, because when you do, it will lead you down the frustrations, the path of works. It will always do that. So learn to hear more. Okay? He sent a word.
Amen. He that hath an ear, right? Let him hear.
Huh? If you have an ear. He didn't say that any man that has our hands. He said he has to be.
Very true, brother.
Right?
And I
say that to align our thinking. And I get the concept of we're going to have to do. Got that. But if I'm doing without the anointing, I am frustrating everybody involved.
Yes, that's very true, brother.
Okay. So let's do it that way, man. All right. Love you, my brother.
Love you too, brother. With the mic.
All right.
You guys.
All right. Be blessed.
Shalom.
Shalom, guys.
Amen. Amen. Shalom. Hallelujah.
All right. Next caller. Area code 352.
Praise the Lord.
352.
Go ahead, my brother.
Oh, I was just listening. Been learning.
That's always a good thing. See, mm-hmm. That's why I gave you 2 ears in.
Amen.
You're twice as much listening. That's just good.
That's
I mean,
right.
It really is. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. I'm pleased that the Lord is imparting into you, stirring up in you the grace that will come to be sufficient in everything that you have need of. Because as the impartation of his grace, by his word, by his spirit, the things that are confronting you will be removed, replaced, refilled by his grace. And as that happens, you will sense and walk into a dispensation of the times and seasons that will be refreshing and enjoyable to you. Because my hand is upon it, because my word has confirmed it, and you will participate in that which I have done this day, says the Spirit of the Living God. Wow.
Okay. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Walk in that grace. Glory to God.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you,
Amen. Glad to do it. That's what we're here for. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right.
All right. That appears to be the end of the, yeah, we don't have any other callers in queue. Pastor Steve, did you have anything that you wanted to close us out with before we end the broadcast?
Let's just let's just go ahead, beloved, and let's just really grow in the grace that has appeared unto us, and that grace is sufficient. Love you. Amen. Amen.
Love you too, brother. Amen. All right, folks, that is the end of tonight's broadcast. Please sow a seed here if you've been blessed by any of the teachings that you have heard here on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. We are here every night, Monday through Thursday at 9 p.m. You can call us at area code 646-378-1857, or you can listen to us via www.livedeliverance.com. Also, please check us out on YouTube as well. You can check out the YouTube page and broadcast from www.livedeliverance.com as well. Now, with that being said, shalom, everyone. Good evening. And if it is the Lord's will, we will see you again here tomorrow night on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com.
Amen. Love you. Be blessed. Shalom.
Love you too, brother. Shalom.
My ideas and content must be a reality, so all my dreams can come to be a possibility. All success starts with a decision just to try. Failing is inevitable if we do not fight. Knowing your purpose, meaningful life. Great execution bring confidence in your smile. If you believe, then you can fly. Don't waste no more time, you can soar up to the sky. The morning sun to ensure what I said I'll do what's really done. Come in my plans to God, no procrastination or weakness in my life I have to overcome. No time for doubt, no time for fear. Problems will come, but I will let them disappear. I cannot slow down, I have to run. I see the time and I must complete the mission, cause I'm a winner. You know all things, so why abide under your wing? Jesus, Jesus, you're my fountain where my life and thanks begin. Fullness of joy I'm trying to find, that secret place where I can hide, no sinful thoughts plaguing my mind, just you and I getting lost in time. Now your spirit